seated.
Led by the Spirit into the wilderness. As we begin our Lenten journey, let us be led by the Spirit even into the uncomfortable places. In those 40 days and in that place, Jesus was faced with hunger, doubt, and temptation. As we seek to follow Jesus, we would be led even into the uncomfortable choices. Jesus left the wilderness faithful and obedient to God, rejoicing in the one in whom he trusted. As we continue our path to faithfulness, we will be led by our Christ, rejoicing in the Lord our God. Will you bow with me, please, in prayer? Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for your presence in this place. In your word, you say that where two or more are gathered in your name, you are there also. We gather today in your name, and we pray for eyes able to see you present in our midst. We thank you for the word that you intend to speak to our hearts today, and we pray that we be receptive to that word. We pray for eyes to see. We pray for faithful surrender. God, in a world that has gone from divided and fearful to even more divided and even more fearful, we seek that you give us strength and courage to be and to do all the things that you've called us to be and do. May we be light. May we be salt. May we be enabled. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Do have just a few announcements to make today. First, there are orange cards in the back of the pews. If your email address is not currently updated with our church, please take time to fill that out. We won't be passing offering plates today, but we do encourage you to drop it in the offering plates that will be held by gloved deacons as you dismiss today, along with your offering. Also, if you don't have an email and you don't get contacted that way, please make sure that we have a correct phone number for you and drop that in as well. We will be sending out lots of updates and information over the course of upcoming days, and so we want to make sure that as best possible we get you the necessary announcements and updates as timely as possible. We are broadcasting or attempting to broadcast today on Facebook Live, so those that are not with us are hopefully able to join us in that way. We pray that you help us to spread that word as you leave today, and make sure that people are aware that that option is available if needed. If for whatever reason that doesn't work in the way that we hope it works, we will be posting the audio tomorrow on our website. So one way or the other, you will have access to the service should we determine that we need to close our doors at any point. I will let you know that a committee has been assembled by our board chair, Ron Elliott. They are meeting Wednesday to determine the best course of action to keep you safe and secure during these times. And even though that meeting's not taking place until Wednesday, you will already notice that many things have been already adjusted in today's service to keep everybody as safe and secure as possible. Things like the youth meetings and the Lenten Bible study are currently up in the air. We will notify you to let you know if those meetings will take place. The elders' meeting this afternoon, again, will notify you. I do know that at this time, all CWF meetings have been canceled, so you can already mark those off of your calendar. Our nursing home and homebound visitation has been suspended until further notice. The blood drive is taking place today. As always, that need is going to be prevalent, so if you're able to participate in that, please do. Are there other announcements that we need to make today? All right. Oh, yes.
So, elders, we will not meet at 4:15 this afternoon. We have some decisions to make. I will call you or
Hey, we're going to do passing a peace a little bit different today. I just want you to stand up. I want you to do the parade wave all the way around the circle. Do that with a smile and with joy in your heart. Know you are welcome in this place, and your faces are a beautiful sight in a troubled time. Now we continue. You can stand or be seated as we continue to sing.
Page 2 in your hymnals, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Scripture reading is from the 12th chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 17, concerning the parable of the wicked tenants. Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again he sent another slave to them. This one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one they killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat, and others they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. When they realized that he had told this parable against them, they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowd, so they left him and went away. Then they sent to him some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it." And they brought one. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Jesus said to them, "Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at him.
From Rick. Rick, can you give him a mic, please? Do you have one back there? I know I see some little ones among us, too. Good morning, Ransom. I'm sorry I overlooked you. I didn't see you back there today. I saw your mom and daddy. Did you cheer your dad on yesterday in that long bike ride? You did? Was it cold just even watching? I heard he endured some really hard struggles yesterday. What all happened? Can you hand Ransom the mic for a minute? It's not working. Let me see. Hello. Oh, now it is.
His wheel broke.
Oh, my goodness. What else happened?
He got covered in mud.
He got covered in mud. What else? I heard his brakes went out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hard day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So I want to ask you two something, all right? Because we can learn a lot from you. And you know, on the news, on the television, at school, we're hearing a lot about something right now. Do you know what it is? The coronavirus.
Yeah.
And what have you heard about the coronavirus?
Kids are not likely to get it as bad.
Kids are not likely to get it as bad? You've heard the number of cases that there are in the U.S.?
It could be really dangerous for old people.
It could be really dangerous for people who are older? All right, so that brought a little bit of a snicker back there. They're like, okay, so tell me what you're feeling about it. Somebody your age, what do you think, what do you feel about it right now?
He can go first.
He can go first? What are you feeling? What are you thinking, Devin? Is it scary? Yeah? Really scary? Yeah? What do you do when you get scared? Do you think about it a lot? Do you? How does your fear?
Okay.
Do you worry about it or do you think about it often? So if a friend comes to you and they say, "Ransom, Devin, I'm just really worried about this coronavirus thing." Like, what would you say? What kind of words of comfort would you speak, or what would you tell them?
I would probably say, don't worry about it.
Okay. What about you, Devin? What would you tell a friend that was worried? Going to be okay. Follow the good advice. Stay out of big crowds and listen to what they tell you and follow that, and things are going to be okay.
My mom has 30 kids.
She does. In her class. Mm-hmm.
And they say only to be around 20.
They say not to be around 20 or above. So how do you feel about that?
I feel kind of worried.
You feel kind of worried. What do you do with your worry?
And I'm worried about my class because we only have 20 kids.
You only have 20 kids. All right. So when the church faces troubles like this and hard things, well, how should the church act? What should we do to help you as adults? What can we say or do to help you with your worries and your fears, or with other kids your age? What do you need from us? Don't know. That's a hard question, isn't it? Do you have any answers, Devin? Don't know either. All right. It's hard times, isn't it? So what, when we've set up here and we've had children's moments before, what do we encourage you to do when things are hard or when you face things that are unknown? Go to God. So we can pray for our schools and for our churches and for our communities and for each other. Prayer is something we can always do, isn't it?
Yes.
And even though we're not supposed to be touching right now, so we're not supposed to hug or we're supposed to stay a certain distance from one another, especially if we're sick, we can still smile at one another. You know, Ashley posted this. I brought it up in the prayer meeting this morning. But if you've seen the movie, Mr. Rogers, if you've seen it, there's a line from that movie where his mother had told him during a really scary and hard time, look for the helpers. In scary and hard times, there are always helpers. Look for the helpers. Who are some of the helpers right now?
God.
God's
Jesus.
A big helper, and Jesus. Who else are the helpers? Whose hands does God and Jesus use right now in these hard times?
Older people.
Doctors.
Parents.
Parents.
Teachers.
Teachers.
Babysitters,
adults of all kind, right? Okay, I want you two to stand up, okay? And I want to take this. We're going to do you know if you ever, when somebody says, I surrender, what do they typically do? You know? They do this. They put their, I surrender. That used to be in the movies, right? So we're going to surrender. And we're going to bow our heads and we're going to say a prayer for all those people you mentioned. God, I thank you for these two. And I pray that your angels protect not only these that are here with us today, but those who are not in our midst. We pray that you help us to do our part in protecting these who are innocent, in protecting our flock, and watching out for one another, for being there for one another, to help one another in difficult times. We do lift up all these that they said are important in their lives, medical professionals, teachers, parents, school officials, adults of all kinds. We pray that you help us to be an example and a role model to these. We know that these are times when people worry, when there's all kinds of things to get upset and to concentrate on, but we know that your word says that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of might and of strong mind. And so we pray that you help us in this time where there is so much weakness to be the powerful ones. We pray that you help us in this time when people need help to be mighty in offering that help. We pray that you help us in this time to have peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. Guard our hearts and minds and help us to guard the hearts and minds of others. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. There are some things back at the table for you to color. All right. Well, great. Thanks, guys. Love you much. I was going to give Devin the microphone to pass, and then I decided that's probably not a good idea. We're probably just going to have to shout out today. But it is our time of joys and concerns. So if there are joys or concerns that you would like to share with the congregation, I ask you to stand, speak loudly, and do so, please. Do you have joys or concerns to share? Thank you, Nancy. Remember those who are in nursing homes, who are often uplifted and encouraged by visits and by the special care that they're offered during these times when that has to shift. We need to be mindful of ways that we can continue to love those who are most vulnerable. Are there others? Yes, continue to keep Leela in your prayers. She fell and broke her hip. She is supposed to be home today, no later than tomorrow at the latest. So continue. Obviously, hospital visits are not encouraged right now. In fact, they're forbidden. So again, keep Leela, Craig, and Kenny in your prayers. Are there others? Yes. I checked with Ellis on Friday, and he's doing very well. Was planning to be back, but then with all of these things, probably won't be for a while. But he's doing really well. He's getting around well, and thank you for asking. I'll let him know that. Are there others? We all get to see Kira today, which always brings great joy. Kira, we love you, and we're glad that on those days that you get to visit us. Are there others? Yes. Congratulations, Clifton, and thank you for enduring and being an example to all of us of what we have the strength and courage to endure when we put our minds to it. And happy birthday! We're glad you were born, and we're glad to have Dane with us in service this morning as well. Others? Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, how could we forget this one? It's a joy. Both over 6 pounds. Beautiful, healthy baby boys. So please continue to lift up Kira and her family, her new additions to the family, in your thoughts and prayers. Are there others? Let's bow our hearts and minds then in prayer. God, amidst the plethora of joys and concerns, we are reminded that you are with us at all times. On those days when smiles are plastered on our faces, and on those days where we can barely muster the strength and energy to get out of bed. You're in the highs and the lows. You're in the hills and the valleys. You're on the plains and the flat ground. You are ever present. And today we thank you for the privilege to lift up in prayer those who are vulnerable. We lift up those in our nursing homes who are unable now to receive visits and care and compassion that typically is what gets them through the day. We lift up those today who are heeding the warnings to just stay away and stay home and yet do so in the loneliness of their living room, isolated from hugs and care and compassion that usually uplifts and enables them to make it through their hard and difficult days. We lift up today our children and our schools and our parents who care for children and for our young. We lift up our teenagers and our college students amidst all of the worries and the concerns and the stress that adds to the anxiety of daily life. We lift up those who are already sick and vulnerable, who have illness and disease that keeps them separated from society already, who live on the fringes of worry and concern on a daily basis. And we know that for some, this is the straw. And so we pray that as you have called us to do, we can be light in the darkness. We pray that as you've called us to do, we can be salt in a flavorless world. We pray that in these times, as in no other, we rise up and band together to accomplish what is difficult, to accomplish what is seemingly impossible, to accomplish what others tell us we are not able to do. Be reminded that in and through you all things are possible, that we've been called into the hard work and enabled to do what is difficult. Work in and through our hands and feet to accomplish what others deem impossible. Thank you for the opportunity to be love in this time where it is so greatly needed, to be strength in times of weakness, to bring healing where it's most needed. Thank you for miracles that still exist and for the opportunity to be a part of those miracles. God, hear us as in unity we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We offer up to God what we have, or at least what we have in the moment, our time, our talents, and our treasures, knowing that in our hearts that God made them all possible. We realize that whatever we have to give, it will never match the sacrifice that Jesus made for us in the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of eternal life through his death and resurrection. These things are priceless. This morning, as we collect the offering, dig deep. Well, it will be at the end of the service, and there will be folks at the back to help collect that money. But please give generously as you can so we can continue the work of this church in support of our members, our community, and beyond. And may God bless these gifts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a beautiful reminder. We are at the third Sunday in Lent. The first Sunday, we talked about surrendering possibilities. We heard the story of the rich young ruler. We learned that faith is not a checklist of to-do or not-to-do items. It's about all things, words, actions, being motivated by love. We learned that we are called to surrender all that we have and follow Jesus. The second Sunday in Lent, we talked about surrendering sight. We heard the story where for the third time, Jesus tells his disciples of his pending arrest, persecution, death, and victory. We learned that we are called to surrender the way that we see things, to seeing people, situations, and circumstances through the eyes of God, and that in our willingness to do so, the way that we see the world changes significantly. I want to let you know that we are skipping the triumphal entry, but we will come back to that in the narrative lectionary. We are entering, as I said, the third Sunday. Today's theme is surrendering the vineyard. It is the story of the wicked tenants and paying taxes to Caesar. And I want to ask you the question, what will we learn from today's story? Before we get to it, will you bow your heads, please? And let's have a quick word of prayer. Gracious God, what will we learn? Give us minds open to your teaching. Give us hearts receptive to change. Give us minds willing to be open and eyes willing to see things the way that you would have us to see things. God, as we watched our children lift their hands and say, I surrender, I pray that you help us each and every one as individuals to lift up our hands and surrender all to you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. We did have a slideshow prepared today, but as you see, we're not using it, so you'll just have to do your best to follow along. If you use that with the outline that is provided in your bulletin today, I want to remind you that a parable is a story that teaches a spiritual truth. It is lessons or a lesson that can be applied to our faith. So today we hear this story about a man who planted a vineyard, he put a fence around it, he digs a pit, and he builds a watchtower. And then he turns it over to tenants, and he leaves and goes to another country. And then the time comes for the harvest to happen, and he sends a slave to collect what would be his share of the produce. But they seize him, and they beat him, and they send him away empty-handed. And again, he sends another slave, and they beat him over the head and insult him, and then another, and that one's killed, and then many others, and some of them are beat, and some of them are killed. And still, he sends one other, his beloved son. And finally, he sends him and says, they will respect my son. But these tenants say to one another, here comes the heir. Let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. And so they seize him, they kill him, they throw him out of the vineyard. And we are asked the question, what then will the owner of the vineyard do? And in order to gain the lessons from this story that is being told, we have to ask ourselves some important questions. First, who is this story being told to? Well, it's being told to the religious leaders. It's being told to those who are in power and authority. You notice he's not speaking in this story to the disciples or to the crowd, although the disciples are present and the crowd is there. He is talking directly to religious leaders. And I went back and I tried to read this story as one who had no preconceptions or no understanding or no knowledge of the end of the story. And the first question that I had to ask myself came when I got to that sentence about him sending a slave to the tenants.
And I thought, the man planted the vineyard, the man put the fence around it, the man dug the pit for the wine press, the man built the watchtower. And then he gave it to others and went to another country. Why then and where then and how then do the slaves come into play? If he had slaves in the first place, why didn't they plant the vineyard? Why didn't they build the fence? Why didn't they dig the pit? Strange thing about this owner of the vineyard. And then we get to the even weirder part where he sends somebody in, his slave, who comes back empty-handed. And I had to ask myself, well, how? How did he get to the country to where the vineyard owner was? And how did he know that he came back empty-handed? And how did he know they beat him over the head and insulted him? And how did he send another one? And why? Why, when one after another is mistreated and abused and killed, do you keep sending them in hoping for a different outcome? And do you not, like I did in this story, finally get to the part where you don't say, why don't you come yourself? And then come to the conclusion, ah, but you did. If this is a story, as the leaders assume, about God and about God building a vineyard and leasing it to tenants to take care of, then we believe that he did come in the form of Jesus Christ, that he did come and tend to. And then we get back to that question, what then will the owner of the vineyard do? And according to Scripture, he will come and destroy those tenants, and he'll give the vineyard to others. And he goes on to quote from Isaiah, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And this was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. And those religious leaders realized that this parable was told against them, and they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowd, and so they left and went away. Now, I want to take this time in the sermon to correct what I believe is an incredible false theology, one that has been used for this story throughout history, one that has encouraged or enabled anti-Semitism, one that was pro-Christian and anti-Jew, one that said, look, Scripture clearly teaches the Jews are no longer the chosen people. It is us, the church. It's been handed over. Historically, that was a bad interpretation. And I believe it's really important to use the pulpit to correct things that were done in error. You see, a better interpretation would be that the tenants are the religious authorities in power. That's who this story is being told to. It's being told to those who are in authority, those who are using that authority for power and prestige, to control and to manipulate, those who are not being servant leaders, which is what we are called to do. And we're back then to the question, what is the listener to do with this story? Can you see and do you feel, as you're hearing it, the injustice that's being described, the wrong that happens, the actions that are incredibly evil? And if, as you read the story, you become aware of those things, you are starting to sense the power of the story. Has the storyteller helped you to see the obvious? And now that you see it in the story, can you see it playing out elsewhere? As you see the rejection of Jesus, can you also see the injustice that's staring you right in the face? And can you ask the hard question, well, how am I implicated in this? I thought about the story of Nathan and that parable that he told to David about the man who was rich and had all of the sheep and became aware of a poor man with one little lamb, and how David decided that he wanted that little lamb for his own, even though he had all the sheep. And he unjustly and wrongly had that man killed so that he could have his lamb. And Nathan, in trying to get David to see his wrong, told that story about the man who had the lambs and the one little lamb, trying to get David to see his own wrong and corruption in wanting Bathsheba. And David, hearing the story about the man with the lamb, obviously, honestly, quickly realizes how wrong it is and identifies that wrong and says, that man should be punished. And Nathan looks at him and says, David, that man is you. Well, that's what this story is supposed to accomplish in us. And if you are like me, you hear it read and you obviously and quickly and expediently see the wrong in the Pharisees. You see how and unjust they are. You know that the vineyard is an established biblical term for Israel. Those listeners knew that. We know that Israel is an established term for God's chosen people. And when stories are about Israel in the Bible, they represent Israel and all those grafted in. So this is a story for us sitting here in this sanctuary today. And those leaders immediately become angry because they're familiar with this storytelling method. And they know it's about them. Jesus has told his disciples three times what his messiahship would look like. He has foretold what would happen now, and now he's begun to step into that purpose. He is coming against worldly authorities. He's coming against religious systems. He is overcoming the world and the ways of the world with God's ways. And he's showing us in this story how kingdom authority works. It's one thing to read a parable as Christians and say, oh, I see the wrong of those Jewish leaders. It's another thing to understand these are questions that we need to ask ourselves. How does this story shape us? What does this story mean for our church? We fall into the trap and think that it's somebody else's fault, not mine, then we've missed the point. The point is to hook the listener and to startle us, to recognize injustice, to recognize sin, to realize wrong, and to identify our part in it and change our course of action. When the parable accomplishes its purpose, it serves as an indictment. And we're the recipients of that indictment. We are the wicked tenants. We are the ones that have been given a vineyard, and we have wreaked havoc. We need to realize that we are the ones that fall short. And then we get to this question that they come back with about paying taxes. And they find him, and they try to trap him, and they say, teacher, we know that you are sincere. We know that you show deference to no one. We know that you don't regard people with partiality and that you treat the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not? But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it. And they brought him one, and then he said to them, whose head is on the title? And they answered, the emperor's. And he says, give the things to the emperor that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. And they were utterly amazed. How do these stories tie together? Well, first off, the hypocrisy that existed in that story continues to exist today, continues to exist in this sanctuary, it continues to exist in me. They're trying to test Jesus. Should we pay taxes or not? And they're harmful that either way is going to be wrong with one crowd or another. And that dilemma still exists today as we continue to try to test Jesus. And we look at the outside world and how they look at the church and quickly jump on anything that they sense is a sign of hypocrisy. But we forget that we do it with one another. Will he be angry with, will he anger the people or will he anger the rulers? He's in quite a quandary that many of us today can relate to. And he uses what the empire, he tells them that you're a part of this empire and to use what they provide and not realize that you're obligated to give back is wrong. I mean, after all, it's not unfair for the empire to ask back from its citizens. They provide roads, schools, systems, hospitals, medical care. Those things cost money. And they're amazed that he's able to answer so quickly with such an incredible truth. I saw a quote in the narrative lectionary on the Working Preacher website that says this: to cling to the benefits without realizing the obligations compromises the integrity of people in both stories. That's so profound. I want to make sure you hear it. To cling to the benefits without realizing the obligations compromises the integrity of people in both stories. Now, does your mind quickly go to, yes, ma'am, there are people who cling to the benefits of the church, who come with on in these walls and are hungry for whatever the church has to offer, but are very slow to realize their obligations? Does your mind go to faces, to people who are guilty of just that? Because if you do, you haven't realized the point of the story. You've missed the potential of the impact of this parable. Because the point is for us to ask ourselves, how do I cling to the benefits without realizing the obligations? How do I participate in authority and prestige and not realize what I am obligated to give to this world, which is servant leadership? I am obligated to follow in the example of Jesus Christ, who sacrificially gave himself in service to others, who gave even his life on the cross as payment and punishment for sin. We're obligated to be servant leaders, looking out for others, meeting needs, feeding the hungry, helping the poor, helping the lost find their way, loving the unlovable, changing the world by our servant love. And has there ever been a more appropriate time for the church to stand up and step into servant leadership? You know, we have our simple little random acts of kindness board posted back there that has encouraged us to do little random things. People, it's time to step that up a notch and be intentional about sharing love with the world in need. And I ask myself the same question that I ask to each and every one of you today. Has the parable accomplished its purpose in your life this day? Amen. As I invite up those that are going to be offering our communion today, I want to let you know a couple of things. First off, Our communion is going to be done today in a different way. This is to ensure your safety and security. We're going to have gloved deacons that are placed at a variety of places throughout the sanctuary. They will be distributing communion today that has been stacked with gloved hands. We're going to ask you to go to them and receive your communion. They will hand it to you. If you are unable to stand and go to communion, we have a deacon that is assigned to you, so they will watch for people who remain seated so that you will be served also. You probably are aware as well that we didn't pass the offering trays. You can drop your offering in on the way out. Another way that you have the ability to give, should you feel inclined to do so, is to give through our website. You can click and give on the church website at any time. We are also going to make sure that we implement the ability to give via text this week, so those things will take place and will happen. Do we have our elders here today that are assigned to the table? All right. All right. We're going to invite you up for that. We'll let him sing first.
Created a disruption. I had to use the facilities. I'm an old woman. Okay. Our scripture today tells of the wicked tenants who beat and killed the servants of the landowner when they came to collect his portion of the harvest. You know, I want to be superior. I wanted to say, I don't do that. I would never do that. I want to be smug and say, I would never kill someone. over wanting what I want. And I'm fair in all circumstances. But I was amazed at Sandra's sermon that had all these questions, because guess what? So do I. Am I fair? Am I living into God's will? Am I doing God's work? As I have studied the Lenten devotionals this week, I have even more questions. Like, do I grumble too much? That's a biggie. Do I want my way too much? Am I stepping out of my comfort zone to evangelize to others? Or am I just reading my Bible and thinking that I'm good? Such questions. What questions do you have as we approach this table of covenant love, of forgiveness, of grace? And on that night, when Jesus took the bread and blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you." And he took the cup, and he poured the cup. He said, "This is my blood poured out for you. When you drink it, think of me. For as long as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Would you please join me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him
should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Lee, would you like to pray now?
Gracious and merciful God, our own virtues or attainments cannot make us worthy to come before you. We would never earn your love, yet this bread and this cup are symbols that you have made us worthy by first loving us. Give us the faith to accept your love and to let your healing and helping power work in us and through us. Through the Spirit of the risen Christ, amen.
Amen. That is actually a glorious example of what Scripture was about today. Jesus came to turn and tumble our religious practices upside down. And you know, I never answered the question that was asked. I don't know if you did either. What will that vineyard owner do? You know the answer? He'll forgive them. He'll forgive them. Time and time again. May we go and love and forgive as we have been loved and forgiven. Will you stand, please, and join in our call to discipleship? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today by coming forward and making that intention known. If you don't currently have a congregation with whom you can serve, we invite you to join with this congregation and make your membership known by coming forward and joining with us officially. Likewise, I offer a challenge to each and every one of you. The challenge of the gospel. Have you received the word of the parable, and have you let it do its work in your life today? I hope so. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
May your spirit do the work that only your spirit can do. May you take the word and work it deeply within our hearts and souls, allowing us to change and transform us into images of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray these things. Amen.